This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around the city, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Wednesday. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Sam Sumpter at WFUV. Sam, we've got Carly Hartzman of the band Wednesday in today, and this is cool because this new album, Bleeds, which came out on September 19th, is filled with these, like, full band songs, but we got this really beautiful, intimate, acoustic stripped back situation today.
Oh my God. I thought I was in love with this album, and I fell even deeper in love with it.
Same.
Hearing her play it this way. And also, it's wild because it's stripped down, but she's still such a presence that even with just her and her guitar, it's still just a really like arresting experience to see her perform.
You guys talked about so many interesting things, and we're going to get right into it. But first, we're going to hear a song from the new album. What is the first song that we're going to hear in the session?
This is Wound Up Here on WFUV.
Scratch your ticket for the education lottery. Found him drowned in the creek. Face was puffy. Trophy case next to his girlfriend in a picture with a varsity face. I wound up here by holding on. Your faceless fear. Oh,
That was Wound Up Here by Wednesday on 90.7 WFUV. I'm Sam Sumter, so excited to be here in the studio with Carly Hartzman of Wednesday on, thank God, a Wednesday. I don't know what I would have done if it was on another day.
It's illegal.
It is. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm finally enjoying New York City. It took me years and years, and it's probably like my 15th time here, but I know enough people, I know where the good food is, and I am comfortable.
Well, welcome. We're so excited to have you here to come up to the Bronx, join us, have a little walk through the campus in the rain.
It's an area I haven't been to yet, and so it's, I mean, driving up was awesome and good to see some new people and places here.
Oh, we're so excited to have you here to perform some songs off your new album, Bleeds, the sixth album from Wednesday. And you're doing it solo this time. A lot more intimate, a little stripped down. And Wednesday started as a solo project, right? How does it feel to kind of return to that?
Playing the songs by myself definitely puts the emphasis on the lyrics, which is the most important part to me. So the opportunity to like really create a space where you can't avoid listening to them is a lot of pressure, but it also makes me feel really connected to our audience when I'm playing by myself.
Yeah, and it's not original feedback to tell you that the lyrics are amazing. I myself am a sucker for lyrics. I really love the beautiful weirdness and how you find the beauty in the ordinary and the extraordinary in the ordinary. And I mean, this is obviously a very basic question, but tell us your secrets. Where are you getting these ideas?
Well, I've been practicing writing since I was in high school. I would skip school and go like sit down somewhere and write because I knew I would get more out of that process. And so just a lot of time and practice, and then also kind of like magpieing and like not putting the pressure that every beautiful thought has to come from my brain. I will overhear someone saying something, or my friends will be telling a story, or I'll read something, I'll watch a movie, and a quote sticks out to me. Or going outside of yourself, as long as you give credit where it's due, is a beautiful starting place. And especially, yeah, if you start with something you picked up that way and challenge yourself to live up to that line, it creates just like a really beautiful boundary and like goal. And having a set goal is really nice with a song, because then if you don't get to that goal, you can do better the next one. Or if you do, it feels really awesome.
Absolutely. And I think that that's really cool, this like stitching together of your own experiences and other works of art even. Do you find that by virtue of doing that, and you're still singing in first person, right, that it kind of frees you up because people don't know necessarily if you're singing about yourself or about someone else?
I thought to make personal music, you would have to sing directly about yourself, but you could find a self-portrait in anything. If you're seeing yourself, that means someone else could see themselves in that too. And I feel like that's, even though I'm writing really specifically around ideas of that, like what's going on in North Carolina, like people are relating to that.
Yeah. And I think like that is the beautiful part about art, is when you, like, that's why I love reading memoir. And it's like you see yourself, the human truths really in someone else's experience, and it makes you feel less alone. And I feel like I talk about this with artists all the time because it's so important to me. And I think that's the beautiful thing about music and with lyrics, especially, that's where that comes out.
Yeah. And someone can feel seen with a sound. It doesn't even have to be a word. It could be like a lot of people feel seen with a beautiful swell of like, I don't know, there's instrumental tracks that people feel seen with. So it's like there's a million ways you can do that. So yeah, if you want to make music, if you tap into that, it can create a beautiful relationship with listener and artist.
And you're telling the stories of the South, right? And of North Carolina, your home, where you're from, where you've always lived. I do believe that we're all very much products of our places. Like I grew up in Texas. I live in New York. I am who I am because of both those places. How has North Carolina kind of informed you both personally and as an artist?
I mean, it's everything.
Yeah.
Like, that's where my community is. That's where my parents live. That's where my memories live. When I'm writing about my own life, I've never lived anywhere else. I travel a lot, obviously, but if I'm writing about my home, it's North Carolina. And a lot of the stories I'm recounting are housed in the homes, streets, coffee shops, clubs, music venues in North Carolina. And it's the most specific and original thing about me because it's not a huge town. There's not a ton of I mean, the North Carolina scene is always growing, but I feel like when you look at music on a wider scale, it's like, yeah, like if you make music about your hometown and it's a smaller town, like that's deeply like, no, who else is doing that? You know, it feels like I never feel like a lack of originality or anything because of that.
Whereas like writing a song about New York City, you're like revolutionary.
Yeah, which it can be it done can be. If you really tap into something specific, but I think it's a little more challenging maybe.
To the theme of kind of storytelling and telling stories about North Carolina and your friends and people you know, I know that Pick Up That Knife, you've said that this is finally your opportunity to write about Zandi, your pedal steel player throwing up in the pit at a Death Grip show. Mm-hmm. What are, I guess, like some other examples of stories that have worked their ways into your songs?
And wound up here, there's a story about my friend having to pull a body out of a creek when he was a whitewater raft guide. And then in Gary's, the last song on the album, that's one of like a, I almost said a manillion, a million songs I could write about our old landlord, Gary. And he's just like this really heinous, goofy, he just has a lot of stories about like old Asheville that I wish I could have seen, but I couldn't get from him. And the story that's being told in that song is about a guy at a bar in downtown Asheville, like knocking all of his teeth out with a baseball bat and him just getting dentures in lieu of getting the teeth replaced. So he had dentures at like 30 years old.
Gosh. And Gary's Two is the song on this album, right? Which is a follow up to a song on Rat Saw God, was it?
Or I think it's the last song on Twin Plagues.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So you're building a Wednesday universe here. There's a lore now.
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful too, like having a character in your life that keeps on giving like that.
Mm-hmm. The cool part with like stuff like building that universe and the characters in it are those stories would have never probably been told otherwise. And so I feel like I'm doing like an archival project a little bit for like my friends and family, and that feels really motivating and beautiful to me.
Well, we spoke a little bit about Pick Up That Knife, you know, so let's go ahead and play it now. How about that?
Let's go.
This is Pick Up That Knife from Wednesday on FUV.
Tooth on a cough drop. Winter stuck around after it's gone. Grocery store on Christmas. Park too close to someone to get out. Foreign coins machine won't take cash out what we could do. Fire in the wedding band. you outside. They'll meet 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 you outside.
I really do love that song so much. You've got the mention of death grips. Death is a definite theme throughout the album, both in outright mentions, like in the title, Carolina, Murder, Suicide, lyrics in Townies, and Wound Up Here. There's mental death on Wasp, a lot of talking of bodies, sightings, snacks at funerals. Was this intentional, or was it like looking back at the songs and a theme that, you know, you're like, holy crap, this is there?
Yeah. Literally would have never noticed if, like, all of the press cycle around this album has been, like, a lot of people being like, you talk about death a lot. And I was like, I had no idea. It's just, like, I'm writing the stories as they happened, and that happens to be details. I think I had, like, experienced a death of a close friend, like, early on when, in high school, that really informed my interpretation of my life. So I think it's just there in the background always. And my relationship with death is very casual now because mm-hmm. of that. And so it feels like really like, oh, yeah, it's just like part of the song. But I guess for other people, it's a little more shocking and noticeable. But I had no idea until I started being like, yeah, like people listing off the examples. Because yeah. I was like, otherwise, I would have never realized how much I'm writing about that.
When you're writing an album, are you approaching it as an album as a collection of songs with like an overarching theme? Or is it more so like writing a song here and there, and this is like, you know, a year in the life of songwriting for Wednesday?
It's more the latter. Yeah, I think I want to switch up my process maybe for the next one, but for the past, like, as I've been trying to become the best songwriter I could be, that's been my process so far. But now that I feel like I've gotten to like a really nice and fulfilling place, I want to start like messing with the formula a little bit for whatever we do next.
Yeah, change it up.
Mm-hmm.
You've said that this album, your sixth, was what Wednesday songs are supposed to sound like. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all have found your sound. Mm-hmm. Did you like have a revelation when you found it? Was it all of a sudden like, yes, this is what we've been striving for? Or
no, it was mostly more like just looking back after we had recorded it and been like, okay, wait, yeah, like this is what I dreamed of making when I started making music. Like, it was more just like we were doing what, like just producing the music in the way that had become natural to us. And looking back on it once it was done, I was like, oh, like, I don't know. I'm not always thinking about myself as the person who had specific goals in mind when I started 9-ish years ago now playing music. But when I thought about that girl 9 years ago, I was like, she would be losing her mind. I never thought I'd be able to make music that I would be this proud of. So it just feels really nice.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
You should be proud of it. I love this album. I've
Thank
had
you.
It on repeat. And that's got to be such an amazing feeling, because I know sometimes when you, as a creative person, make something and then you look back and like there can be a little bit of like, ooh, and you have to kind of, you know, love the person you were when you made something.
Oh,
but
yeah, it's hard. But yeah.
Well, you define this sound that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You found the Wednesday sound. Mm-hmm. That is creek rock.
Yeah.
How would you? I feel like that's a very evocative term. I feel like I can like smell it.
Yeah. But, sure.
How would you describe creek rock?
I mean, I don't think artists really get to make up their own genre. Like, I feel like the public chooses it for them. But that's my contribution to hope that that's what we start getting kind of funneled into, just because a lot of the genre we've been kind of like attempted to be boxed into is more like involving like shoegaze adjacent or country adjacent, which I feel like, yes, we're inspired by both, but we're also neither. So it's like more just like this enmeshment in this like weird swamp of both. And like, I feel like creek rock just pays homage to like where we came up playing music in Hawk Creek, Asheville. And it kind of like hopefully could encapsulate like the other musicians that were from that area and were like influencing each other in that time, like Jake, MJ Linderman and Colin Miller and Sluice and Fust and like all these bands that are like kind of coming up out of that zone right now.
Yeah, it's a scene, right? Yeah, that is a music scene.
Yeah, it is. And I'm so proud of it. There's so much good music.
That's super exciting. Mm-hmm. Elderberry Wine, one of the lines in there is from a friend of yours' poetry book that you borrowed. And I love that, like, art begets art. Mm-hmm. Where else do you find inspiration? Do you find it from a lot of other creative works?
I think the biggest source is, like, family stories, friend stories. That's going to always be the most, like, affecting to me because it's linked inherently to me because I care automatically because it's the stories are about people I care about. But yeah, that's because it was a book of poetry written by my friend Evan that wound up here came from that was kind of the same as him just telling me a story. So I feel like that was in a similar vein. But otherwise, I mean, I'm always reading. I think if you want to write, you should always be reading just because it informs and motivates you so much to kind of mix things up or like try different like spaces to write from, different perspectives, different tones. So yeah, as whenever I read a book, I'm always my radar is never off for looking for stuff. And then even like movies, I'm trying to think of the last movie I watched where I picked something up. I watched this movie, Audition. It's a Japanese horror movie, and it's about this man who auditions a bunch of women for a fake movie to find a wife. And then the girl he picks ends up like, I won't spoil it. That's the movie. But I want to write a song really desperately from her perspective. And I'll get around to that eventually. But when you hear it, that's where it came from.
Bleeds is a spiritual successor to Rat Saw God, which came out in 2023. What do you mean by that exactly?
Mostly like what we were talking about before, like characters carrying over. And also it was written in the same kind of space in Hawk Creek before we moved out after our landlord Gary passed away. So I feel like just because of where I was at in my life, like it, no matter what I would have written, it was going to be a spiritual successor because I was just in the same exact space. But now our next album, I'll be living in Greensboro, being around a totally different community. A lot of stuff in my life has changed outside of music. So I feel like it's a different girl. But whereas the girl that wrote Bleeds is just a continuation of the context I was living in for, Rat Saw God.
So now you're back in your hometown. It seems like despite, you know, your rise, you're still keeping it really DIY, like enlisting artists that you know and love to do album art and friends for your music videos. Like you filmed a video in like the bar where your dad's been hanging out for like decades.
Yeah.
Does that keep it fun for you to be able to do things this way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it also like helps me. Like it's an opportunity for me to involve my friends in this really exciting thing that's happening with the band, and they give so much affirmation and excitement to me. I want to like be able to like create like a recycling of that affirmation. Yeah, again, just archive the beauty of our lives and of my friends and family. And yeah, especially like the bar that's in the Elderberry Wine video, like I think that's such a beautiful place where like no offense, lonely men can go to like relate to each other and have like guy time and like maybe like hug and check in. And like I feel like we're running out of spaces like that. So I was like, that was a really big necessity to document that space. And also like one of the patrons of the bar that's really featured heavily in the video passed away like a week later. And because that's like the age that they are, and just like documenting his presence in that space, it felt really big to have that for him and his family. So yeah, it's just a special town and place. And I love that I get to try to show that through the videos and other ways.
Yeah, I really, your love for it and your commitment to it really comes through both in your art and just the way you talk about it. Like it's really beautiful. And it's really art serving as like an expression for feeling, but also as a time capsule and, you know, documenting the lives of these people who aren't famous, who aren't, you know, professional athletes or rock stars, but who deserve to have their stories told. And I think that as an artist, like that's a beautiful thing to shoot for.
Yeah.
You've left Instagram. You now have this incredible, chaotic, beautiful, throwback, glittery, like, be still my blogging heart website. It's so amazing.
Yeah. And it's really helped me engage with, like, on tour, it gets really overstimulating to listen to, like, all the new music that's coming out. And I feel overwhelmed and it feels like it's being sold to me all the time. But to create the space just for me, because I think the internet is so cool. I think the internet has so many opportunities to create a space for sharing art, but I think social media has really become like so capitalism driven and so overwhelming that just having this space, this corner of the internet that is just for me, where I can share and engage with all of the things I get to listen to and watch and read and relate to other people, and have like a really low-key way to communicate with our fan base that I can do on my own time. Like, it's so fun. I get so much out of working on that website.
It's so fun. And it's also, you know, much like you're talking about your friend's art and talking about your friends, like, you're promoting music that you're listening to, like, stores that you've been to in various towns.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's beautiful to use your platform to promote.
Oh, yeah.
Artists.
And
yeah.
I would say even, like, because at the end of the day, yeah, I guess I am promoting, and that has an association with capitalism, I think. But I would say, like, I want to shift that idea to, like, uplifting. Just, like, showing, yeah, maybe exposing, like, yeah, the music of a smaller artist or, like, a friend or the artwork of a friend to, like, people that otherwise wouldn't have seen it.
You've got a P.O. box there where people can send you mail, can send you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything particularly weird that you've gotten? And then on the flip side, what would you like someone to send you? This is your opportunity, a call for.
Yeah. I actually, our fans are so normal. Everyone that I've met, I would trust with my life. Like, they're very, our fan base is really cool. And they haven't sent me anything too weird that I can think of. Unless I blocked something out because it was, like, too scary. But my favorite thing to get is fan art, because then I scan it and, like, archive it. And I think that's just such a beautiful, like, that people devote time to making something. That's when they, like, inspired and, like, creating their own stuff is so, that's my favorite thing to get. I'll always love getting the art.
You're quite the archivist, I feel like.
I don't know why. But that's the inclination. Everything in my life is, like, surrounding that. I think it's just, like, yeah, I think nostalgia is a big thing right now, but because it's so comforting and it's fun to look back.
Thank you so, so much for being here, Carly. Bleeds is out now. It's amazing. You're going to play another song for us.
Mm-hmm.
This is Elderberry Wine, the hit.
Yes.
One of all the hits.
Here we go.
From Wednesday on FUV.
Sweet song is a long con. I drove you to the airport with the e-brake on. That voice in a long time. Had to check back there to make sure you were alive. Angel home of an electric car. The verses told me sometimes in my head I give up and flip the board completely. But everybody gets a champagne tastes like elderberry wine, and the pink boiled eggs stay afloat in the brine, cause even the best champagne still tastes like elderberry wine. You'll cry at commercials. Give a damn. the champagne tastes like elderberry wine, and the pink boiled eggs stay afloat in the brine, cause even the best champagne still tastes like elderberry wine. So long just fine, cause the champagne tastes like elderberry wine, and your eyes are the green of tornado sky, cause even the best champagne still tastes like elderberry wine.
That was Wednesday, performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Carly of the band Wednesday for joining us in our studio, and to Dead Oceans. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, Matthew Ellersick, and Holden Buckley. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer for this episode was Liv Grant. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Sam Sumter.